serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Please respect our speaker and silence your cell phone. Our speaker is being recorded with her permission. CDs can be purchased from Darren. I'd like to introduce this evening's speaker, Veronica from San Clemente.
I'm Veronica, alcoholic. Thank you. So some of you have heard me speak from this podium quite a few times, and a lot of you guys have seen me go through multiple relapses too. And so tonight taking my first double digit was huge for me. Although my heart really isn't in it this year, you know, just the last 90 days for me, I feel like I felt the day I checked into Ashland House, which is a woman's recovery home and detox. My head is like, everyone's like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, I'm like, I've been crazy for the past like 3 days, and really for 3 months. My birthday was on August 9th. I turned 10, and I'm from Los Angeles. I've been living here for, I think it's going to be 17 years this year. God, these seem so close. I need room. So I'm really from LA, but I live here, so I guess I'm a local now. I got to let you guys know where I'm. I don't feel 10. You know, I don't know how it's supposed to feel. I've been getting through the days, you know, and there's a large group over here that have been supporting me beyond my belief and my amazement and just the support that they've been giving me. You know, we found my baby brother dead after 5 days, and I cleaned up his flesh, and it took me a month to get over the smells, and I still can't get over the visual. So that's huge. And our family dog died right before that, and then I just came back from Georgia, had a death there. But you know, I thought they walked me through losing my father some years back, and I thought that was the worst tragedy of my whole life, you know, because my father was my superhero, but I knew he was sick. I guess you're prepared for that, you know, but my brother, you know, he was making movies and young. I just saw him at Easter, and we had a great conversation, and everything was dandy. Can't believe I just said dandy, but, you know, so it just... I just can't wait till this year's over, basically, you know, and I just, these women over here, I can't believe it. Some of them I just formed relationships with in the last 90 days. I've known most of them. You know, there's a group of them I've known since I moved here, Kathleen, my sponsor, Mary, and a few others I've known since I relocated here. And, you know, they watch me take 4-year cakes. They watch me take, you know, a 6.5-year cake. You know, and, or no, they watched me take a 6.5-year cake, that's it. But, those relapses were before. And, but the way they came around me at this time, you know, in my life, where I'm not the type of person that normally reaches out and says, oh my God, I need help. But something right before my brother's celebration of life just told me I needed to reach out to people a little bit more than I have. And they were available for me more than my family has been available for me. And it just, it means a lot. So I hope I can carry a message tonight of experience, strength, and hope. You know, through all of my confusion, because I am very confused about a lot of things. You know, I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, good neighborhood, Hancock Park, Wilshire area, so you're not going to hear any drive-by shooting stories, and no boys in the hood over here, so. So I'm just letting you know now, get over it. You know, my high school was in Hollywood on Melrose and Fairfax, did the whole rocker scene, you know, did it all, troubadour, you know, and after that I did the whole A-list club scene. And so when I started my partying, I was having fun. I enjoyed it. every ding, dang, darn pass out, every whatever. I enjoyed it all. And then a time came in my life where I got really sick, and I realized, God, I'm starting to need this, you know? Even though it went with the lifestyle that I chose with that whole scene, you know, there was a time I got really sick, and that's when my family stepped in, and I was still living at home, and I had a younger sister and brother, and I was a bad influence. I was older, and no matter what I was doing, your younger siblings are going to look up to you. They were like, you have to go. You know, you either get it right or you have to go. And I remember my first apartment was on the third floor of one of my friend's mom's mansion. There was like a ballroom on her house on the third floor, and old Victorian house. And I remember I had this little refrigerator, and I had never lived on my own. And I never bought groceries. I never really did my own laundry. We had chores, but, you know, my mom was a stay-home mom, so I didn't know how to live on my own, and or to save money, pay rent, all of that. I remember going to the store and not even having the sense enough to buy food. I remember buying all tall cans of Old English. And I remember how beautiful it was because the light glistened and it glowed gold and burgundy. Like, it just had this glow. And I was like, oh, I did good. I went shopping. I was so proud. And then there was times I would get hungry and I'd go to the store and just buy crap. It was horrible. My first load of clothes turned red. I remember I had to go home and have my mom help me correct it. It was a mess. Got to stay there for a while. Went down even further because I was, I was free to be me even more without rules. And not that I follow them, but I got really sick. And I had to go back home because they got kicked out of there. And then they were like, okay, another 90 days. It's like, remember, 30, 60, 90 day limits, depending on my situation and the sit-down family talk. And, you know, so that went on a lot. And I remember they put me in the first adolescent care unit at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. And I was the first kid. It was like I was the experiment. And it was just a mess because I was just like, okay, I had to go because my parents made me go, and I had just started, you know. So it was just like they wasted $30,000 plus in insurance money to send me there, got out of there, and just continued even more. And you know, it went on for years and years, you know. I went through this. I remember calling. They were like, well, you can't come back anymore. You know, your sister and brother are just, they're freaking out. You know, you're like a skeleton. You know, you're just like crazy. You can't come back. I remember getting the phone book in the front. You know, there's the drug and alcohol abuse hotlines. There's an 800 number. I said, my parents aren't going to help me anymore. I don't have any insurance help. I don't have a job, whatever. I need help, you know. And they put me on the waiting list for all these L.A. County facilities. I remember it was like Clare Hospital in Santa Monica, a Pomona American Hospital, and all of these different county-funded facilities for people like me that didn't have any money, you know? And the first place that called me, one of my first rehab adventures, was this place, Acton, and it was out in the desert. And I remember they said, we have all these pickup points. And they were like, and they told me the four pickup points. It was the men's county jail, the women's county jail, an insane asylum, and the detox in Skid Row. And I was like, okay. So I asked my parents to drive me. They're like, no, we'll drop you off at a pickup point. I got to take my sister and brother to school, all of that. They were just done. They dropped me off. My mom was freaking out because there's people slamming, people fighting, people stabbing each other over there, dead people over there. It was a mess. And then the bus finally pulled up, and they got out, and they told my mom and sister, she'll be okay. This is just a bad pickup point. And I remember them stopping at all of these places, and I was like, you know, we're driving and driving, and, you know, the van got full. All kinds of people were getting in, you know, and I remember driving out to the desert, no more city, no more buildings, just rocks. And I remember following this railroad track. I was like, God, if I can keep my eye on that railroad track, at least I can get back to downtown LA, you know? And I was like, so just keep your eye. And I kept seeing it. Okay, it went through the mountain. It's still there. And then all of a sudden, we turned through these mountains, and it was like this oasis, this beautiful place. I'm seeing people golfing over here and fishing, and these all these cute little cabins. And the first thing I saw was this beautiful skinhead guy with a swastika this big, and I fell in love. I didn't even get off the band yet. I was like, oh damn, this is my focus. And he was like a biker skinhead thing going on. It was just Larry Quackenbush. He was the most beautiful man. And I just remember that long, beautiful brown hair. He was just beautiful. You know, like, don't ask skinhead with long hair, but it's the swastika, whatever. And I went through there quickly. They came to me in 90 days and said, or day 89, you can leave tomorrow. And I said, well, I can't leave tomorrow. I'm going to hit the pipe if I leave tomorrow. I'm going to drink 1540s if I leave tomorrow. And they said, okay, fine, you don't have to leave. Just let us know when you're ready. And then exactly on the 90th day, another 90 days, I was like, okay, I'll go. Went back home, got a job, banking industry, boom, it all started again. You know, it lasted for a while. I started in the thrift and loans when the savings accounts were 18%. Those are the good old days. And stayed there for a while. I got 4 years of sobriety, actually. And it didn't last. It didn't last. And I had to go speak at a meeting. I was a sobbing mess, and it was in this really bad neighborhood, and this guy came up to me and said, you're going to drink. And I was like, no, I'm not. Shut up. I was drunk like the next week, you know? And same thing happened again. Got evicted from my apartment, lost my job, went back home, went to another rehab. It was this disgusting cycle. You know, this rehab let me in for the last time. And they said, you know what? And that was with the help calls from my mom, people from my church. My dad called, and they called the L.A. County, you know, bigwigs to get me in, because they really weren't going to let me in the third time. They were like, okay, but you got to do something differently this time. And they, what didn't you do when you left that we suggested, you know, and sober living? Because I was like, I'm not going to rent a room. I'm not sharing a bedroom with four people, you know. I just, you know, what? And for what, how much a month? No. And I remember saying that, ooh, but then I had the opportunity to go home, so why would I do that all of the times before? But this time I was willing to do it. And the speaker had come from San Clemente, and they had a whole bunch of sober livings in the area. And I remember I told someone that I needed to get in touch with that lady who brought that panel down from San Clemente, because I remember on my way to Rosarita to party, I remember I always said I want to live in one of those beach towns one day, so I'll do a sober living down there. I moved here, did the sober living, got out of there. I'm actually still in the same studio apartment that my sponsor helped me find before I relocated back to LA, because I wasn't going to pay the rent they wanted. And I was like, I can't find a place, you know. And I remember she helped me, and we found a place that was like three something. And I think it just went over five right now. I'm still in this little box, but I love it. It's my little paradise. Went through that. I brought my banking career here, did it for a few years, got bored. There's a ceiling with banking, and especially for women. So I knew I wanted to do something creative. I got into the fashion industry, you know, and got promoted quickly. They were flying me to New York. It gave me the power to hire people. It was huge. I mean, I was an executive in 90 days, you know, with a salary and bonuses and a staff, and my head blew up, okay? I lost my damn mind, okay? That's all I have to say, you know? And it was nice. I missed the clothing discounts and all that, and I loved it, but I lost my mind. Forgot where I came from, forgot that Alcoholics Anonymous got me there, you know? Forgot I was an alcoholic because I was an executive at Bloomingdale's, and they're flying me to New York. It was a trip. I relapsed. after 6.5 years, and I can't even believe my sponsor even took me back. You know, I'm skipping a lot because my story is so long. What time is this meeting over? Well, no, really. Damn, is that clock right? That's ridiculous. I don't have that. That's too damn long. Okay. Where was I? So I ended up leaving Bloomingdale's because when you get into an executive position, other companies come and recruit you to work for their companies for more money and more benefits. So my head was blowing up even more. Got recruited to another company. Me and my sponsor weren't working together anymore because, like I said, I lost my mind, relapsed. Went to Ashland House, got out, and I remember there was a knock on the door at Ashland, and someone came up to my room and said, "Your sponsor's here." I was like, "What?" You know, and I ran down, and it was her. She's like, "Okay, let's do this again." And let me go back. When I first moved here, I met her and quite a few of these women at the San Clemente Friendship Center at its first original, the old location. And I remember I followed her around because I didn't, you know, one of the things that I didn't do properly before was get a sponsor and work the steps thoroughly. But I kept seeing her talk this talk and, you know, oh, she sings in the choir and she goes to this church and she travels all over the world. And I really didn't believe her. You know, I was like, yeah, right. And the promises were happening. I remember she bought property. And, I mean, she was out of the country every, like, 15th day. You know? You know you were. And she was also working in the industry that I also had a desire to work in since I was a kid. And I remember following her to her church and just kind of spying on her for a while. Then I finally was like, okay, she's walking that talk. And that's how we started working together. So she took me back. We went through the steps again. You know, I got out of Ashland House. It was crazy because I did the, you know, 14-day, no, it's a 10-day detox. And then they offer you to stay longer. I was like, no, I got bills to pay. You know, I got to get back to work. And my landlord, thank God, put my car in her garage and collected my mail for me. And I remember getting out the first day. I went and opened my mailbox, and it was slammed. Plus, what my landlord was holding for me, I remember it was like this. Just bills like crazy. And I remember calling, like, I paid all of these, da 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 da, which I did. And the late, I was like, I just got out of rehab. And I was like flipping out. And I got to go to a meeting. She's like, easy does it. One day at a time. Just breathe. I will get this all taken care of. Just go to a meeting and call me in an hour. And I was like, God, she's so AA. So I remember I went to the meeting. I came back. She's like, it's done. Everything's clear. I found your payment. You're done. And so I was like, okay. So, let's see. I ended up leaving, you know, the industry I was in, the fashion world, and started going to school, and wasn't really sure what I was going to do, and an opportunity came up for me to start doing hair, you know, because night school, I had to always work because it's just me, so I only could go to night school, and so I was able to do that, and I've always wanted to do it. It's just fun. I'm not even in it when I do it. It's just something I love, like fishing and shooting guns. Don't ask. But so I was able to do that. My dad passed during that whole transition in life and career, and I got a really good job around that same time. It was around my first year, and I'm actually still working for, you know, I manage a law firm in Laguna Beach, and I'm still working for the guy 10 years later, and I mean, that's an absolute miracle, you know, 10 years. I feel like I'm missing so much. What my pitch tonight. And I'm still working for him. I do hair on the side, finished that, graduated, and just you know, the bottom line is for me with the program is that, you know, before my relapses, I forgot. I stopped doing it. I wasn't rigorously honest, you know, like I thought I was. I had to start over from basics, you know. I have to work the steps. You know, I have to have a sponsor. I have to be of service. And I have to have a relationship with the power greater than myself. And I had to jump back into my program like, you know, like I thought I did before, but it was different this time. It was, and I can't even explain it because I can't really explain too much lately, but, you know, with after losing my brother, you know, my days have been, I mean, I've just been walking through getting through the days. So that it was kind of like when I came back and I had to start my relationship with my program over again, it was the same thing. I was just getting through the days and I was just letting things unfold how they were supposed to unfold, you know. I can go back. I remember my sponsor when we first started doing the steps together. I remember there was a lot of suggestions she would make to me, and I was like, "What? You know, I'm not doing that." Like, I would look at her like she was crazy. You know, like the dating thing. You know, I remember her saying, "No, you can't date in the first year and all of that. You might not be able to date in the first 5 years." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, well, whatever. I don't see that happening." But I remember some of the suggestions that she made, and, you know, I probably listened to a good, 80, 90% of them, and then some of them I went free will. What? Is that too high? Okay, she's giving me the high eyebrow. So, okay, 60%. I listened to 60% of her suggestions, and, you know, with the stuff that I figured, you know what, that's life stuff. I can handle the man thing. But I'm going to tell you guys, there is a reason why they say do not get involved in the first year to 5 years, okay? For one, for me, you don't know yourself. You don't know what you want in life. Your head isn't even clear. And for me, I feel like it took me 5 years to detox anyway. So everyone's like, oh, it only takes 90 days to detox or 40, you know, 14 days to detox. No, it took me 5 years for the drugs I did and the alcohol I did to get out of my bones. Okay, and I truly, truly believe that, and I can tell you stories. I'm not going to bring up any names, but my sponsor knows, and a few of these women know. Some of the men I went out with, I'm sorry, I will deny it. On the day I meet my maker, I have no idea who you are talking about. I did not date that fool, you know. I don't know. I've never heard of him. I know you see all, make all, create all, hear all, record all. No, I have never heard of them. And I tell you this because, and I'm not saying that I was better than that person, or, well, 80% of them. But I'm not saying I was better than that person, but I think you guys get my point. When you don't know who you are or what you want, you end up, and you haven't even worked your program and cleaned up your side of the street, you're going to end up in the same toxic liquor store that you were, and you're going to be in the same relationship in the same liquor store with the same people doing the same crap that helped us get here. And I have to add that to my pitch now, because I didn't for years, and I talk about it to a lot of my girlfriends, and I was single for a long time, years after that, and I think I like being single now more than in a relationship. And that's because you do start to grow when you do your steps. And you still, the insecurities, when you do your steps and you're honest, the promises start to happen. So you start to get this comfortable life within the promises. And with that comfortable life, it's like you can walk alone, you can move alone, you can sleep alone, you can travel alone, you can buy property alone. You don't need anybody except for you and your maker. You know, and that's huge, you know. It took me a long time to get to that place. And I'm not that I had a lot of men back in my party days, because it was all about partying for me. You know, it was all about alcohol and drugs. No, you can't have any of it. So I wasn't sharing my stuff with anybody, you know. Unless you're going to bring some to the party, but when you run out, you got to go. So there was not really a lot of relationships. So... So I'm kind of jumping around because that's just where I'm at. And I'm sorry if I don't, you know, I'm not a circuit speaker and all of that. I mean, really, I do feel like a newcomer and on my 10th birthday. And so I'm just doing the best I can. And I'm looking at the clock. That is the slowest clock, you know. Is it still not 9 o'clock? Jesus Christ. Okay, this is going to be a short meeting tonight. And so we can all go eat or something. But I don't know. You know, I can talk about the steps. You know, the steps for me are huge because really I remember my sponsor and part of her pitch and what kept me and made me attracted to her and attracted to Mary and some people that know that I'm attracted to them is that I kept hearing these promises in their life. And I kept hearing, after you do 8 and 9, these promises are going to happen. And you guys have heard them. They sound too good to be true. And I was like, okay, well, I really, really want that. So, and I remember, you know, I was hearing, you hear all these stories about how people do the steps and all of that stuff. And it's like, I would hear these horror stories. I met this girl who, she was 9 months into her 4th step. I was like, I'd be 9 months drunk, okay? 4th step, 9 months. So, and I'm like calling my sponsor, and we're doing it. It tells you in the first part of that big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it tells you how to do the steps. You know, it walks you right through it. It even tells you the little graph and write this. And I remember doing my 4th step, and I was like, okay, am I supposed to write longer? Because I kept hearing these people taking forever with this 4th step, you know? And she's like, just bullet point it. You know, just write little dots and then put the topic. We'll get into details later. You know, we'll get into the details when we do, 5, 6. And which was cool. And I called her. I remember calling her from the sober living, you know, that was my first round of steps with her. I remember calling her, like, at really late. Like, and she was just like, just do it like this. Just do it like that. And And I was so glad we did it like that because I wanted to get to the promises as fast as I could. You know, I wanted to feel those things. Because I believed it because I was watching people live it, but I didn't believe it would happen for me. So I was like, okay, let me try this. I tried everything else. I tried the alcohol. I tried the drugs, you know, and everything that comes with that. All, you know, some of us shop and some of us overeat, some of us undereat, and we get into all of these things to achieve what the promises, you know, offer us with just doing the steps, you know. I remember those happening for me quickly. They still are, you know. I'm supposed to be dead right now. You know, I was talking to a friend this morning, and we were trying to figure out how much drugs we did, how much alcohol we drank in this short period of time, And we guesstimated about 50,000 just in cocaine in this very short period of time. And I was like, how did we do it? She's like, I don't even know, you know. And I remember going to the doctor with the blood spraying out of my nose. I remember drinking so much that I had stomach problems. But I also remember the worst part is like when you come to the next day and you eat a little bit of food, but then you start getting those shakes. And there's nothing on this earth that was going to stop me from going to the store to get that next drink. I had to have it. I remember it so clearly. But it was nice to talk to her about it this morning and to kind of go over it, you know, because we tore it up. We tore it up, but we also had fun, too. We started talking about the fun part and then we were talking about how we both got sick, you know, and she's also sober now, you know, as well, and we're just both very grateful. So you guys, if you haven't worked the steps thoroughly, you know, don't skip any, you know. You don't need to go to a specialty AA Serenity store and get an 18,000 page pamphlet to do any of the steps. It's in the book, okay? You know, there's people here. You don't have to do those things, you know. I mean, you can if you want, but I needed to feel good quick, you know. And I'm getting to the age where I don't have time for 18,000 pages of 4th step. I'm sorry. And you just don't have to do it. It's spelled out in that big book. And the promises do happen. A few miracles happening in my life. I'm still employed with the same employer, even though he's, you know, we're both crazy. We work very well together, you know. You know, I get bonuses on a regular basis, you know. One of the first things my sponsor told me, made me do was get a passport. You know, she's like, because when you, the promises start to happen for you, you will travel. You will see the world. You're going to do things. And I remember one of my first trips was to Ireland and London, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm in a place, you know, it was amazing. You know, I got to know all the cops. They don't even carry guns in other places. I think we're like the only place where the cops carry guns and, you know, and just sober with money, able to do that. You know, I remember she made me, you know, and with going back to the steps a little bit, I remember the fight, my amends, you know, the amends I had to make. I had to write letters to all my creditors, every single one. It was like, she, you know, I had to put a line and write the same blanket letter to everyone, and I had to fill in, you know, every single credit card, you know, I think there was one to 18, everyone, I had to send it, because I had stopped paying my credit card bills, and I maxed them all out. I remember I had to send all of those, I was like, oh, damn. But the response that I got, I mean, some of them wiped out the interest completely, some of them said, okay, well, if you pay 50%, we'll take it back from the collection agency. And one was like, well, we're not working with you. I paid them last. And like, well, you can't wait, you know? And then so, but I remember making that last payment. And I remember calling her when I made that last payment. And today I'm still debt-free because of it, because that feeling of being debt-free, I was like, I will never do that again. I will never do that again. If I charge what I have in my checking account because I want the rewards points, but I charge so I can pay it off. I don't overshop, you know. I still live in my little box. See, some of you know, you probably feel sorry for me because my little apartment is very small, but I love it. But I mean, the financial security that I got from doing the steps. You know, that's just part of the blessing that comes out of the doing the steps and being honest and just making amends. And I bought a house 2 years ago, you know, on 5 acres of land, a house bigger. I can't even tell you. I mean, every time I get there, I drive up, I cry. Every time I leave, I cry. I'm not supposed to own a house in my name that's almost 45% paid off in less than 2 years. My sponsor helped me do that with the steps. And you know, I have friends that have called me that are not even in the program to wish me 10 years because they were like, you tore it up, Veronica. You tore us up and we weren't even partying, you know? And I'm like, what? I didn't even know you knew I had 10 years. They were like, girl, we've been keeping track, you know? We love you. We know you since you were 11. Of course we know you got 10 years sober. These are people that, and I caused some of these people harm. I mean, serious harm, and they love me today. Some of those people were the first people on the scene at my brother's apartment, you know, and I turned that room and saw his skin, you know, I called them, I came out of there, I don't even know, I was in robot mode, I guess, but I guess I texted and went on Facebook and went crazy and had no idea they were there with masks and gloves, and some of the people I hadn't seen in 5 years, but I've known them since I was 11, and they love me today, they showed up, you know, and that doesn't happen, you know, to alcoholics like us when we don't work the steps, when we're not honest, when we don't make amends. And, you know, one of the girls is terminal. She doesn't even talk about being sick. They gave her a year to live, you know, a year ago. She was the first one there. She's like, girl, we got to go in here and clean this mess up. Here's your mask. We got to put your hair up so it doesn't stink. It was just like crazy. You know, the unconditional love from all, from places and absolute strangers, you know? I mean, absolute strangers. There's people that have called me from these rooms that heard about it that I didn't even know that knew my name. I knew their faces, you know? Like, I know this guy right here. I don't know his name, you know? And there's quite a few people in here. I'm just bad with names, period. So, but they care about me, and that's not supposed to happen for, you know, for people the way I was living before, because I pushed a lot of people away. But when you do the steps and you start living a life of sobriety and you get honest, then the people start to come back. They want to be in your life. My boss wants me there, you know. My friends want me there. They're throwing me a 10-year party on Sunday. And, you know, some of these women that I... You know, they came with me to the funeral celebration of life for my brother. And one of the girls I just met, you know, we just started talking in the last 90 days. And she was there with me and supported my family like she knew me for 25 years. And it doesn't happen unless you do these steps. You get a relationship with a power greater than yourself. And you're of service. And then... And you don't drink one day at a time. And I feel like I'm missing something. Am I missing something? I covered the steps. I talked about higher power. Sponsoring. I hate sponsoring. I rather pick up cigarette butts anytime. So I'm a service of other ways. I'm just saying that so nobody comes up to me and asks me for my phone number. I'm just telling you now, straight out, because I want to be like, why? Why? No. Go get drunk. No, just kidding. I sponsor nobody. One of the things I do to give back is I collect socks. I do a sock drive. I have a little tiny car. As soon as I get my trunk full, I collect clean socks without holes, and save your socks, give them to me. And I go to Skid Row. As soon as my trunk is full, I take them down there. That's one of the ways I give back. And I went down there for other things for years, but they would always ask me, you got any socks? And I was like, okay, I'll bring socks next time. So it's like, it's so crazy, because I was just there, you know, right before I went to Georgia, and you know, they take off what they have, throw it in the trash, and put it on. You know, it's huge. You don't think about being homeless. You walk the streets all the time. I mean, I'm obsessed with socks, you know. And if they're not clean, I take them off. I put on another pair. So I can't imagine not being able to wash your socks and all of that. So that's one of the things I do. And I'm of service when people ask me to suit up and show up. Kathleen and her husband asked me to speak a few weeks ago, and I was like, okay, you know, damn, you know, I'm just not in the right space. But it came right on time. You know, I've known Kathleen since I moved here also, you know, and she's always welcomed me. She didn't judge me when I relapsed, and that was huge for me, because I remember when I did come back, there was quite a few people that snobbed me. And I'm not saying relapse is okay. I do not suggest it for anybody. It's a part of my story. It does not need to be a part of yours. I remember that clock is something's wrong. I need, you know. Okay. I remember. That's a bad clock. Wait, what was I saying? Oh, I remember. At one of my regular meetings on Sundays in Laguna Niguel, I remember, and I've known these people for years, and I remember this one guy, and he's little too. And I'm sorry if there's anyone little in the room, but do not snob me if I relapse and you're a little man, okay? I still have not talked to his ass, okay? I'm sorry. I look at him, I just go... You know, like, you remember, you know, and he's just like, I remember him shaking his head with that onion smelling. I was like, and he's about how he comes up to my hip. And I'm like, and you snob, just, like, you know, his 20 plus years is so important. Like, he's like, you know, I'm just like, I'm sorry, I know some people that got 30 days that do it sometimes better than I do. Okay, I know people that got 30 years. I don't want nothing they have. Not the lady that just took her cake. You rock. Okay, but you get my point. You know, I know some newcomers that got it more together. I mean, I call them sometimes like, oh my God, you know, like what am I gonna do? You know, and I just this is a one day at a time program, you guys. And I mean, just like I said, I don't feel like I have 10 years. Maybe I just had it all wrong. Maybe I thought I was like gonna wake up with gold eyelashes or something, but I just know I was all, it's just, sometimes I don't feel okay, and I have to let the people know, and I have to let this group over here know, especially, you know. But don't judge people if they go out, because I remember Mary and Kathleen and my sponsor and a few other women that are here. They welcomed me with open arms like nothing ever. They were like, sit down. You already know how to do it. You did it before. Just get up and share and just whatever, you know. Do you need anything? You know, it's just the love. And that's part of the reason why some of them will always be my favorites, you know. And relapse guys, I don't know, you guys, I'm just grateful I'm sober, you know. I'm grateful that I have people that care about me enough to throw me a party, you know, and they're not even letting me help, you know. They're like, oh, we got this, you know. And I'm just, you know, I mean, I got flowers tonight, and I just, the love, you guys, and the self-love that comes with the steps, you know, it's so important, because I truly believe now, if you cannot love yourself, you will not be able to receive and give love in the future, and you got to get to that place. So I really suggest that independent time, that, you know, live alone if you can, I don't know, and just, you know, bond with your maker and yourself and, you know, the planet. Yeah, I got into fishing. I always liked it as a kid. That was another thing I got back into. Now I'm getting into guns. Don't ask. That's a whole, we're going to get invaded. We need to save America thing. Don't even ask. Okay, that's one of my conspiracy theories. Only a few can handle. So it's like, but my house is in the country. So you also have to have guns, you know. Single woman in the country, better have guns. But so life is good. That's all I have to say. Yeah, I miss my brother. I miss him dearly. But I know he wanted me to show up tonight and take my cake. And I know he's proud of me. I miss my father. I just had a crazy dream about my father and my brother, you know, today. You know, I took a nap after work. And it was insane. I won't even get into the dream thing. Then you're going to go running out. But you know, I know my dad and my brother are with me in spirit, and I know I was supposed to do what I was supposed to do. Today, you know, all I can do is just suit up and show up and do the best I can without drinking. And oddly, it didn't cross my mind to drink through all of this tragedy. I didn't want to wake up a few days. I didn't want to leave my house for a few months, you know, but I had to, and they kept calling me and pulling me out and making me suit up and show up and speak and come over or whatever, you know, and it kept me busy. And you guys, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because if I could get into the drunk log, I could get into all of the details and of how much I did and how much I spent. But we all did the same thing in our own individual way. But we can all be debt-free. We can all go to sleep at night without any regrets. We can all have friends and family members and jobs and people that truly love us. You know, we can have relationships. We can buy houses with land. We can do whatever we want. We can drive the cars we want. You know, we can walk if we prefer not to drive. You know, I mean, we can have these amazing lives no matter what. If we do the steps, and if you do them honestly, and you just surrender, you know, to the program and your higher power, and you do not drink one day at a time, you know, and it just works out. That clock's wrong. I'm stopping. But I promise you, you guys, and I have no reason to lie, you know. That it will get better if you do those things. And even through the hardest, I'm the thing with my brother is the worst possible thing that has happened so far in my life. I can't even imagine anything worse. But I'm sure there is. You know, a friend of mine just lost his eight-month-year-old baby. I've known him since I was a little, since 1979. Just, I can't even imagine that because I'm not a mom. I've never given birth, so I can't imagine. But I can imagine that's possibly worse than me losing my brother, you know. And but he's getting through it. He's not drunk. Well, he's not an alcoholic, but he's not drunk. He's getting through it. I'm getting through it with the help of people that love and care about me. And just if I can do it, we all can do it. And happy birthday to the 30 years. And I love your story. You're so, I mean, 30 years partying together and then 30 years, you know, sober together. And I love it. You know, it's amazing. And I would love to hear your whole story one day. And to the other guy with the 4 years, yeah, you know, happy birthday. It's an honor taking cakes with you guys. And I hope I look okay and my hair's all right. And, you know, it is hot as heck in here. And that's it. Thank you for letting me share.